Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Capital, also known as Das Kapital, is Karl Marx's foundational critique of political economy and one of the most influential works in modern social thought. This Fingerprint Classics edition brings together volumes I, 2, and 3 in a single paperback, making Marx's full argument more accessible to readers who want the complete framework rather than only the first published volume. The book examines capitalism not as a moral question alone, but as a system with internal laws governing value, labor, profit, accumulation, and crisis. Marx's central concern is how wealth is produced through labor and how surplus value is extracted within capitalist production. Because the work is analytical, historical, and theoretical at the same time, it is read by economists, philosophers, political theorists, students of history, and readers interested in the structure of modern capitalism. Its purpose is not to offer a simple reform program, but to explain the mechanics and contradictions of the system in rigorous detail. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Marx's theory of value and surplus value as the core of capitalism. The most important idea in Capital is that capitalist profit depends on surplus value, the difference between the value created by workers and the wages they receive. Marx argues that labor is the source of value, so the organization of production is central to understanding the entire system. This is not just an economic claim. It is the basis for his critique of exploitation. Workers sell labor power as a commodity, but the value they generate during production is greater than the cost of their wages. That gap becomes profit for the capitalist. Marx uses this framework to explain why capitalism can expand wealth while also concentrating power. The theory is significant because it shifts attention away from prices or trade alone and toward the social relation between labor and capital. Readers who understand this concept can see why Marx believed capitalism was structurally dependent on unequal exchange, not merely on bad behavior by individual employers. Secondly, why Volume I focuses on production rather than market exchange? Volume I is primarily about the production process. And that emphasis matters because Marx wants to show where capitalist value is actually created. Instead of beginning with markets or consumer choice, he starts with commodities, labor, and the organization of work. This lets him analyze how production becomes disciplined by the need to generate surplus value. He also examines how machinery, division of labor, and the length and intensity of the working day affect capitalist accumulation. In this part of the work, industrial capitalism appears as a system that transforms human labor into measurable economic output while subordinating workers to the demands of capital. The focus on production reveals that capitalism is not just a set of transactions. It is a structured relationship in the workplace. That approach is one reason the book remains influential in labor studies and social theory. It offers a way to understand how economic power is built at the point where goods and value are created. Thirdly, the circulation of capital and the movement of value across the economy, Volume 2 expands the analysis beyond the factory and into the circulation of capital. Marx shows that capital does not remain fixed in one form. It moves through stages such as money, commodities, production, and sale before returning as enlarged value. This circulation is essential because profit depends not only on production, but also on the smooth movement of capital through the economy. Marx is interested in turnover time, reproduction, and the conditions under which the system can continue operating. By tracing these movements, he demonstrates that capitalism is a dynamic process rather than a static market order. Delays, bottlenecks, or disruptions in circulation can affect accumulation across the whole system. The volume is important because it shows that capitalism must constantly reproduce itself at both the level of individual firms and the broader economy. Readers gain insight into why economic coordination, logistics, and the timing of exchange are not peripheral issues but central to capitalist stability. Fourthly, profit, crisis, and the contradictions developed in Volume 3. Volume 3 takes up the broader functioning of capitalist society and shows how profit appears in forms that can obscure its origin in labor. Marx examines topics such as the rate of profit, competition, credit, and rent, all of which help explain how surplus value is distributed and transformed in practice. He also connects capitalism to recurring crisis, arguing that the system contains internal tensions that can lead to overproduction, instability, and breakdown. These crises are not accidental interruptions from outside the system. They arise from its own drive to expand production and accumulate capital. This is one of the most important reasons capital remains relevant. Marx is not simply criticizing inequality. He is explaining why capitalism can generate periods of growth alongside instability and social conflict. The third volume also deepens the analysis of class relations by showing how different forms of income are tied to different positions within the capitalist order. It broadens the critique from the workplace to the entire social structure. Lastly, why the complete three-volume edition matters for understanding Marx's argument. Reading all three volumes together gives a fuller view of Marx's method and purpose. Volume I introduces the basic theory of exploitation and the production of value. Volume 2 explains how capital reproduces itself through circulation. And Volume 3 shows how competition, credit, and crisis reshape those relations at the level of the whole economy. Taken separately, any one volume can look incomplete. Together, they form a systematic critique of capitalism as a total social process. This edition is especially useful because it allows readers to see the progression of Marx's argument from the factory floor to the wider dynamics of accumulation and crisis. It also helps clarify that Capital is not a simple manifesto or pamphlet, but a long analytical investigation into how capitalist society works. For serious readers, the complete edition is valuable because it preserves the structure of Marx's original project and avoids reducing his ideas to a few famous slogans. That makes it more useful than shorter introductions when the goal is genuine understanding rather than summary. In conclusion, Capital is best suited for readers who want a demanding but foundational study of capitalism, including students of economics, political theory, history, philosophy, and labor relations. It rewards patience because its arguments are cumulative. Marx builds from the commodity and labor process to circulation, profit, competition, and crisis. The practical benefit of reading it is not a set of quick policy answers, but a deeper framework for interpreting wages, productivity, class relations, and economic instability. Intellectually, it trains readers to think structurally rather than superficially about markets and power. What makes this book stand out from many other works on capitalism is its ambition. It does not merely critique inequality or describe industrial society. It attempts to explain the internal logic of the system as a whole. This three-volume edition is especially valuable because it presents the full scope of Marx's project in one place, giving readers a more coherent view of how his analysis develops. For anyone seeking a classic text that shaped later debates about capitalism, labor, and crisis, this remains one of the most important works in the field. If you would like to support Karl Marx, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.